Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the show. Great to have you with us. No competition from the Steelers today. It's always interesting. You're going to get the critics.
What are they playing on a Wednesday for?
You know what? The NFL deserves a lot of credit for getting to this point. It's like I thought Major League Baseball deserved a lot of credit for getting to the point they did. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai, great pre-owned inventory as well. Great time of the year to buy. Lots of great sales at the holidays. And it's all backed up by Sunbury Motors and their guarantees. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. King is on today.
That is right.
And we'll have the voice of Lady Lion Basketball, Justin Antwiel, on today as well.
My man.
Yeah, so we got that. So we'll get a little women's basketball in today. We're going to get a little variety. We're going to have Justin today on the, because they play Rhode Island tonight. So they're up to a 2-0 start. So, you know, I figured let's talk to them. And then the King with picks. So we'll have some fun with that. Tomorrow, Jeff Campersall, women's ice hockey coach, will be on. And we're also going to have tomorrow Reginald Walker Jr. Reggie played at Penn State. He is now a broadcaster in the Charlotte area. And we're going to talk a little Penn State football with him, but also a little Clemson football. And he's also the analyst for Charlotte. And we'll talk about the Panthers as well with Reggie tomorrow. Reggie, of course, played here at Penn State. He's a running back and took somebody's class.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Had that person do in somebody's class?
He was really good. he was really good. I mean, I strongly recommend it. For a lot of people. I mean, like take for example, Doug Birdsong wouldn't need it.
Of course.
I've heard his analyst, and he could use it. All right, so I mean, it's a
that's not funny. It's not funny at all. He thinks he's a riot.
So, but yeah, right, he was the only guy in the class I've ever had that actually every project he turned in was video. He's the only one that did all video. But yeah, we'll have Reggie on tomorrow. Looking forward to that. And we're going to hear from James Franklin tomorrow, too. How about that? Sit down with him. All this leading into Santa, of course. We have Santa tonight, correct?
Yes, we do.
You know, it's supposed to be 4 to 8 year olds, right?
Yes.
Do you lose all sense of pride when you like cut the line and just like, have the little kids in back of you? And you know who I'm talking about. I mean, I think you lose all sense of pride when you do that, don't you?
Well, in this case, it would be cutting off cars because they're coming in one at a time this year for social distancing purposes.
So, you know, it's again, Doug. I mean, Doug doesn't, like I said, Doug doesn't need the class, but and neither does the chief. I mean, you've heard the chief. Chief's the smoothest.
I've worked with the chief, absolutely.
You don't need it. You're fabulous. Somebody else.
Oh, thank you.
Somebody else. You feel like they're constantly knocking off the rust. I just don't know. Depending on how many bowl games we have left, we've now lost 10. I believe that we're bringing him back in for bowls. I think I won the bowl thing last year, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. After he won 4 years in a row?
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, you did break the streak last year.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, as usual, guess who got a little cocky? All right, so I know what I'm talking about. I know where the hidden gems are. L. I'm telling you. No, you're wrong. So we're going to have to pick a day that, because they're not announcing the bowls until the 20th. So maybe the 21st we'll have to do something.
Yeah, I'll work it out with him.
I know he's awfully busy. He has an incredible schedule. In fact, if you could go back and wake him up right now and just tell him that we're thinking about this, it'd be great.
I'll do that.
What are you doing? I'm awake. All right, we're just having a little fun here. A little fun. It's always at the same guy's expense. All right. So the Steelers played yesterday. I didn't see a second of the game, so I don't know. I know Trace threw a touchdown pass late in the game, which is great. I'm thrilled for him because that's his first career touchdown pass. But I didn't see the game at all. I mean, evidently the Ravens must have played a pretty good defensive game yesterday.
It was ugly all the way around.
And I guess the Steelers have lost Bud Dupree now with a torn ACL.
Yeah, that did not look good right from the get-go. You can see it kind of pop as he was coming off the edge late in the fourth quarter, and you knew right away that was bad.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
That's one thing that they've had. They've had so far this season the bookend defensive ends that have been able to put pressure, you know. Okay, I'm going to leave a running back or a tight end in to chip or help. Well, which one do you do it with? Do you do it on Watt? Do you do it on Dupree? And, hey, don't forget about Hayward. I mean, that their front is really, really good for the Steelers. And when you can come at a team from all angles like that, where you sit there and say, okay, he's a dominant rusher. We're going to have to use the tight end, or we're going to have to use the running back to help chip, something like that. You can do that with one guy. But when both guys can get to you, now you have a problem because somebody's going to be one-on-one with somebody. Without Dupree, they lose that. That's a tough one. And the Steelers are in the process now. They've got to play a total of 3 games in 12 days. So 3 games, 12 days. Next one will be Monday at 5 against Washington. That will be a very interesting game. Washington is playing better. I know it's an NFC East team. I got it. So it's not, you're going to sit back and say, well, but you know what? In the last month, Washington has played better. You can't sleep on them. And I think that that will be an interesting matchup on Monday at 5. That's early. It's a 5 o'clock game on Monday. Now, I wonder if they're going to have... let's see. Who is doing that game? I think Fox is actually doing that game, correct?
Actually, I don't know if a network got announced for that yet.
I think, yeah, I do. I think there is a network that was announced for it. I think all the networks have been announced. In fact, I'm going to be straightforward about that, that I believe that's already set. It's not an ESPN doubleheader. I believe
you're right, it is Fox.
Has that
yep.
game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Fox.
I'm Fox. And then the Ravens play Tuesday, and I believe that game's on Fox.
Correct, because that was the original Thursday night football game supposed to be tonight.
Right. So Ryan Day said today that Ohio State, now he's not going to be able to coach. It's going to be Larry Johnson, so LJ's going to coach the game on Saturday when they take on Michigan State. But he says the Ohio State's going to be shorthanded because of COVID-19, but they're continuing to practice. He says, so far, so good. They voluntarily canceled their game with Illinois last week because of a spike in positive tests among the 170 players and staff. No details on who might be missing the game on Saturday against Michigan State. They just know for sure one of them is Ryan Day. Day said the toughest part for everybody in the program has been all the stopping and starting. I think it just takes an emotional toll. To say just, it's okay, we're going to get over it, isn't fair. We've had to continually get over the disappointments, these stops, these starts. To win a football game at any level, but certainly college football in Ohio State, you have to get yourself emotionally ready to play the game. And when those games are taken away, it's hard to create that momentum again. He says, they've had to do things by Zoom. He says, LJ said the Zoom is tough. You can give information, but you can't give a feel of the passion of the information. You want to see guys' eyes and how they react. It's tough to do that when you're showing videotape and talking to guys on Zoom. Sometimes I think I'm talking to myself. Look, that's one of the reasons that I really stuck to my guns when I was teaching class about doing everything I could within the realm of being reasonable about teaching in person. I just felt strongly enough it would give the students the best chance to do well because it's normal to reach them better. I mean, Zoom's tough. And again, I'll go back to one. It was in the spring. We had to, by necessity, teach by Zoom from spring break to the end of the semester. And there was one day where I had all the students there, and I had, and again, you have all names. Now, when I had Mark Zumoff talk to my class on Monday, Mark demanded that everybody, and he was right to do this, demanded everybody, hey, look, click your video on. I want to be able to see faces. And when I was teaching this class in the spring, I had one of those days where it's like all names, all names, all names. And there was something. It wasn't important, but it was something I wanted to ask the class to get their opinion about something I was considering doing the next week, so I wanted their opinion before I made a decision on it. So I said, hey, let's go around the room here and answer. And I finally get to this one young man, and I said, you know, I'll use Matt's name just to use the name. I said, Matt.
Yes.
What do you think, Matt? Right? What do you think? And I'm not getting any answer. And of course, okay, he's not there.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Finally, the class ends and everybody clicks off, and the only one left was, and again, I'm using the name Matt. I'm going to click off. He was, of course, he's not there, so he's not aware the class is over with, so he's still on there. I finally clicked off. Again, you don't know if you're reaching people when you do that. This has been very, very tough across the board. Very, very tough for the players to do this, for the coaches to do this, because they have had to have been isolated from everybody to do this. And everybody's had to deal with it. And in the case of Ohio State, the starts and stops of it and so forth, that's hard. And especially when you think you're about ready to play a game, hey, all of a sudden, Friday night, you're not playing. Now, a lot of people have been critical of Dabo Swinney and the Florida State thing. He went too far, but his initial criticism was accurate. You're sitting there in Tallahassee on Saturday. Now you're being told you can't play? Really? Now, is there a mistake by taking the young man? But I don't know. It's not easy, and it's far more difficult emotionally than people realize in what they're doing. I'll give you an example. Thanksgiving. Go see your parents? No. Leave campus? No. What if you're involved in a bowl game? Leave campus for Christmas? No. See your parents at Christmas? No. Basketball players? Go home, see your parents? No. Can't do it. You gotta stay in the bubble. Yeah. Talk about sacrifices. These people are making a lot of sacrifices. All right. We'll talk some Lady Lion basketball in the next half hour. No response yet from the suit about taking the class.
I'll check on that.
I'm offering for free. How much more am I supposed... How much am I... More am I, in fact, I'll bring Doug in as a guest speaker. Huh? What do you think?
I'd sign up for it.
I mean, Doug is a guest speaker, right? I mean, it'll be the first time that the suits actually listen to Doug. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKFK. We'll hear also from James Franklin tomorrow. Conversation with him. Penn State getting ready for Rutgers. Figured why not? I'll have an opportunity to talk to him tonight. And while you know who is asking for a tremendous gift from Sunbury Motors while talking to Santa, yeah, you do know you can buy one, correct? It's our guy here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai. Now, those are great product lines. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai. Sunbury Motors has them all. Pre-owned inventory. Maybe the budget says that's the way to go. Well, they have a great selection of that and the Sunbury Motors guarantee behind it. Fabulous service department. I don't care if it's major or routine, they've got it. And a great sales staff with some great deals to be had. And the holidays are a great time to buy a vehicle. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Well, fans in our area would know this voice because for several years, Justin Antwiel was the voice of women's basketball for the Bucknell Radio Network. Did a great job. He is now the play-by-play voice of Lady Lion basketball in his second season here. The Lady Lions are off to a 2-0 start. They will take on Rhode Island at 6 o'clock this evening in the Jordan Center. Justin, welcome, and it's great to hear you again.
Steve, it is great to speak with you. You know, I haven't seen or spoken to you since you were buying muffins at Giant. This was about in May, right? During, like, the height of quarantine.
Yeah. I know. That was the last time we talked for about 20 minutes. You know, people kept trying to walk way around, you know, and I finally convinced somebody, look, I'm not patient zero, okay, you know. So they're off to a 2-0 start in really a remade roster in a lot of ways. So let's start with somebody that has been able to step up, been able to put down so far 35 points, so 17 and a half game. Kelly Jacob, what is Kelly's game meant to what they want to do?
Oh, just tremendous. She's got the highest basketball IQ on the team. And I'll tell you what, Steve, the biggest part of Kelly Jacob was the fact that she transferred midway through last season.
Yeah.
So she got to learn by just visualizing plays from the bench and absorbing information in practice and being entrenched with her teammates and coaches. And I know six players transferred from last year's team. But, you know, it's the little things, knowing where to go in terms of where classes are and the locker rooms and the parking and all the minutiae that might matter. You know, it's coming into fruition for Kelly, and the game has really slowed down for her. And this is a woman that Carolyn knew from her time in the Big East.
Sure.
You know, Kelly was a great player at Villanova, first-team All-Big Five selection. Coach Keegers, you know, resurrected Marquette, and that's why she was able to buoy that into this tremendous job here at Penn State. So they knew each other, and it just goes to show you always got to play hard because you never know who's watching. Once she entered her name in the transfer portal, it was kind of a no-brainer for Coach Keegers to go after her because she needed a veteran presence. This team is so young. It's the seventh youngest team in the country. So having a grad student like Kelly Jacob, who's got great bloodlines, two-time Pennsylvania Player of the Year, mm-hmm. She's got so much pride for this state. She said, you know, her dream was to play at Penn State. It just didn't happen her first time around. She went to a good school in Villanova, but everything happens for a reason. And, you know, to me, Steve, what's underrated about her, she's a great rebounder. She mm-hmm. has back-to-back double-double. She had one double-double in 3 years at Villanova, and she's got two this year in two games with Penn State. And they're going to need that because this is not a Lady Lion team. When they walk off the bus, you're not like, whoa, these are giants. They have to play bigger than their bodies, and they play with a lot of heart.
Yeah, she's a six-footer, right? In terms of height, and she's averaging 10.5 rebounds a game. McKenna Marisa has been able to dish out 13 assists so far, only 3 turnovers. What kind of rudder has McKenna been so far on that floor?
She's been the most improved player on the team. Last year, she averaged 32.6 minutes per game. That was the most minutes amongst all freshmen in a loaded Big Ten conference. So, you know, she kind of learned by trial and fire. She learned as an 18-year-old going through the trenches against the game's greatest players. And she learned by making some mistakes. And I also think there's more weapons on this team this year. So there's a greater trust factor, too, as a facilitator and as a floor general. She doesn't have to worry about her teammates being in the right spots or making an open shot because there is this good level of rapport. When you're in a bubble during a global pandemic, all you have is each other. And this team really became close. And that's pivotal for a point guard like McKenna Marisa. And, you know, they only returned 29% of their scoring from a year ago, and she's a big chunk of change of that. And the game has just slowed down for her, too. And she's a walking triple-double. You know, she's kind of like that Jason Kidd,
yeah,
where she can easily get 11 points, you know, 9 rebounds and 7 assists a game because she's got weapons, she's a good rebounding guard, and points are going to be there for her.
And she has 6 steals so far, which is pretty good through 2 games. They have 4 players averaging double figures through 2, obviously, it's young, but they have 6 players averaging 9 or better. What is that balance meant to how Penn State can attack?
Oh, it's just tremendous. I mean, this is a team that's going to play positionless basketball. I mean, they don't have like a, I guess Kelly Jacob's their best player, but
yeah,
she's just kind of a seamless part of this offense. They don't have like a go-to bell cow that's going to get them 29-11, a consensus All-American a game. They don't have like the Lamar Stevens that the men's team had last year.
Right.
They just have a collaborative group that really plays in unison as one. And you've got a lot of weapons, and this is a young team that really is learning. I mean, Tova Sable, coming from Sweden, it's amazing. She committed to Penn State. She never even visited this campus. She saw it through some videos on her iPhone and was like, yeah, I'm going to come here. I'm going to trust the coaches. And this is the happiest she's ever been in her life. It just goes to show you, even in a global pandemic, the unity that the coaches can bring amongst these young women and the support system here. And the administration's done a great job because, you know, they haven't had a stoppage in their program because of this COVID-19 pandemic. So the girls are paying attention. They're staying healthy. They're washing their hands. They're wearing masks. And I think it's just been a collaborative effort from the young players, from a team effort, from an administration level, and from the coaches, too.
What kind of progress have you seen in Anna Camden? Who's off to a good start. She's second on the team in rebounding. You know, again, this is 2 games worth, but what kind of improvement have you seen from Anna?
Yeah, well, last year Anna was pretty much just a one-dimensional player. Let me camp out of the wing and let me shoot some threes. Yeah. 39 of her 52 field goals made were three-pointers. That's 75%. This year she's getting to the free throw line. You know, Steve, last year, the whole season, she only shot six free throw attempts. This year, in two games, I know small sample size, she already has four free throw attempts.
Right.
It shows you she's not afraid to play outside the wing. She's got, what, five steals already? She's better defender. And she got better during quarantine. You know, she's got two younger brothers that are committed to play for Coach Penny Hardaway at Memphis. So she practiced with her brothers, John and Sam, in the driveway all quarantine long. And she got better that way. I think she's a little leaner, more mature. You know, Camden's got such a great brand. I mean, if you follow her on, like, TikTok or Instagram or YouTube, she's all over the place. She's got a great smile, great young woman. And I think the game's kind of slowing down for her, too. She's only one of three players to return, so she obviously wants to be here and put on for her state. She's a Downington, PA native, and she's doing well. She's doing well. She's a really good piece of this puzzle.
No scrimmage against anybody else. No preseason game, so everybody's had to do the same thing. Everybody's had to get out of the gate. When you remake a roster, and this is a remade roster for Carolyn Keegar, what kind of job has she done getting them to be cohesive this early?
Really, just a tremendous job, and it really starts with Keith Keegar and the recruiting coordinator, Jenny Bogus. I mean, they've got eight freshmen from seven different states in one country. So it really has been a collaborative effort. I mean, they've been creative. They've obviously used Zoom, which everybody's doing. They played, what, kickball? They played wiffle ball some days. I mean, they're just trying to do anything they can to kind of branch out and be competitive and learn how to want to win. You know, I think this year's team wants to win. And this is the blueprint that Coach Keegar's used to. Because if you go back to her first year at Marquette, her second year at Marquette, Steve, she only had two returning players from her first year.
Right.
This year, she only has three returning players from her first year. So these are all young women that want to be here. I mean, and I think the bench energy is something that really has resonated with me. And I know if you talk to Joe Putnam as well, we both kind of noticed it too, where it's authentic. It's genuine. You know, Coach Keegar doesn't need to turn around and say, hey, get excited for your teammates. These young women are really excited for their teammates. Kelly Jacob gets her 1,000th career point. Everybody swarms her. Nia Staples, who's battling two different ACL tears, scores for the first time in 2 years. Everybody erupts like it's a Miles Dredd buzzer beater. And rightfully so. You know, it was a 35-point game at the time, but that mattered to Nia Staples, and it mattered to every young woman who was at the BJC. So there's just a genuine sense of cohesiveness. Why? Because they want to be here. They want to be Lady Lions, and that was something that wasn't here in the past, and it's here now.
Yeah, there's no question about that. It's what do you think? I mean, look, these are games. Now, this will be a little bit different tonight. These are games, the first two, that people quote expect them to win. That doesn't mean you're going to, but you know what the expectation is. You know, going in. What do you think that's done for the confidence of the team, especially in the ability to play together?
Tremendous. And I know Coach Keegar was saying, you know, there were thoughts, hey, let's just go straight to a Big Ten season. You know, what's the point of not, you know, let's let everybody on an equal playing field and just have conference games. You know, this was back in September and October when all the commissioners of the leagues were trying to figure this whole global pandemic out. We're in uncharted territory. But I know all these coaches for all these teams that do have new players, 13 of the 16 players are new to this team, eight freshmen, five transfers. You do need these non-conference games to build cohesiveness, build camaraderie, bottle up some confidence, you know, experience just college basketball. That's why these kids come to a great university, to experience some sense of normalcy. You know, there isn't a lot of normalcy, but 94 feet in between those lines for 60 minutes of game time is normalcy. So the more games you play, the more fun everybody can have. So it is important. I mean, this is a Rhode Island team. They've got a lot of international flair. Seven right. of their 11 players are from overseas, a lot of them from France. But, you know, you can't overlook Rhode Island just because you have Syracuse on Sunday. You've got to take this team seriously. They're a lot like Penn State, a lot of new players, a lot of transfers. And I don't think this team will overlook Rhode Island because they're just genuinely happy to play. Like you were talking earlier in the show, each day is a victory that you get to play, that you test negative, and you get to have positive results on the court, not in a lab.
From SMU, by way of McKeesport, and obviously a fabulous family, Janasia Cash comes in as a senior. what has she meant to the cohesiveness of what we're seeing?
Oh, tremendous. She's really, really well-spoken, a bright young woman. And, you know, this year's kind of all gravy for her, Steve. You know, the original plan was, hey, you know, she's just going to sit out this year, kind of bulk up a little bit, learn the system, and then have a great kind of redshirt senior year in 2021, 2022, and maybe buy some stock for the WNBA draft or potentially play overseas. Well, once the NCAA said, you know what, we're going to start granting out waivers in a global pandemic. We want people to be, you know, happy for their mental health. The coaches said, hey, why not apply? Because she'll still be able to play next year.
Right.
And she ended up getting that waiver. They found out like 48 hours before opening tip. And it's been just a huge jolt. She put up 16-8 the other day against a gritty mid-major team in St. Francis. And she's just really well-spoken. She's a musician as well. Just a really good kid. You talk about her pedigree, her cousin Swin Cash, mm-hmm. UConn champion, WNBA champion. So just much needed size, length, and athleticism. I mean, she looks like a basketball player, Steve. I don't think she has like an ounce of body fat on her.
Let's set up the importance of tonight's game. What can tonight's mean to then set up Sunday with 22nd-ranked Syracuse, which is going to be the last game before finals?
Yeah, tonight's game is just continuing to get better, continuing to play together, continuing to develop these 8 freshmen and these 5 graduate transfers and these 3 players that have returned that have really gotten better. I mean, Shea Higgins is a bolt of energy.
Yep.
We've already talked about McKenna Marisa and Anna Camden. It's just about getting better. And then, you know, it's a massive litmus test. I mean, no pun intended, it's a temperature check on Sunday against a really good Syracuse team. Mm-hmm. It's a nationally televised game on the ACC network. It's their first road game, so they'll drive Saturday to get to Q's, and they'll spend a night in a hotel. Like, it's a real dress rehearsal before the Big Ten. They're kind of playing with house money. Nobody's expecting Penn State to win that game. They've got a great coach in Quentin Hillsman who's been doing it for 15 years at Syracuse. They went to the finals in 2016, and they have Tiana Manakaya. And, you know, for Tiana, everybody has read about her ability to overcome adversity with the breast cancer. She was a fantastic basketball player prior to that rigorous surgery.
Right.
You know, everybody was talking about Sabrina Ionescu, and rightfully so, but Tiana is one of the most prolific point guards ever in ACC history. So that's a really, really great jolt for Syracuse. It's a tremendous litmus test for McKenna Marisa and this young Lady Lion squad just to be able to play and potentially just compete on the road against a really good team in a hostile environment, even with no fans. It's the Dome. It's an imposing place.
Well, it's a fabulous start for them. They've got Rhode Island tonight at 6 o'clock. Joe and you will be on the air. And, by the way, Justin and Joe are a fabulous broadcast team. You guys do great work, and thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it, Justin.
Thanks, Steve. Nice call last night on the Dread Buzzer Beater. Safe travels to Piscataway.
Justin Antwiel, former voice of Bucknell Women's Basketball, now the voice of Lady Lion Basketball at Penn State. We'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
In Wisconsin, there's McSorley firing it. It's holding a chance for the run by Hollywood Brown. Coming back inside at the 20. Brown, a good move, and he will score. So the Ravens stay very much in this as McSorley throws his first NFL touchdown, a 70-yard to Hollywood.
Gerald Sandusky with the call on the Ravens radio network.
First career touchdown pass for Trace McSorley off the bench after RG3 got hurt. I say RG3, I think had a hamstring.
Yes, he did.
So, it's, you know, and that's going to happen when you're not playing a lot. I mean, that's one of the issues. When you're not playing a lot, that is an issue. You're seeing more of that this year than ever before because of the nature of how the schedule is playing out for everybody. But Trace gets his first career touchdown pass. Fabulous. And thrilled for him. Thrilled for him. That was just what the doctor ordered for him and for the Ravens. Now, Lamar Jackson will be back. When he's back, okay, they'll go from there. But the Steelers have a firm grip on the lead at 11-0. I mean, right now they're not. They are not fighting for the Steelers are not fighting for the division title. The Steelers are fighting to be the number one overall seed. That's what they're fighting for. I mean, pretty simple. I mean, it's between them and Kansas City right now as to who's going to be the number one seed and get home field. And, of course, in this particular year, home field means more than ever. Oh, okay, forget it. we all know that's not true. It doesn't really matter where the games are played this year.
Well, the Steelers can clinch the AFC North with a win and a Cleveland loss on Monday, and they clinch a playoff berth with a win.
Okay.
Or losses by Vegas, Miami, and Indy.
I will say this. Let's give Cleveland some credit where credit is due. You know, the Browns have quietly had a good season. You know that? I mean, they've had a good season. And, you know, I know you don't want to give them any credit. You're a Philadelphia guy. You don't give anybody credit.
But I do think they're a fraud 8-3 team.
Let me ask you this. In all kidding aside, how can you be a fraud 8-3 team in a league where all it matters is how many games you win?
Because I don't believe in the quarterback still.
Yeah, but they're still 8-3.
You're right. I mean,
they're going to make the playoffs.
They're very, very good on defense. They got a good run game, which can help out Baker Mayfield. But I think come playoff time with some of these tougher teams, I think they're going to be in for a rude awakening.
Now, right. Now when you get to the playoffs, now it's about matchups. Right? Matchups become critical. There's no getting around that. Matchups are critical in playoffs. Is he good enough to win a playoff game for you? Well, guess what? You're in a position to find out. I mean, did people think Ryan Tannehill was in a position last year to walk into Baltimore and win? But he did. Yeah, I'm just trying to make a quick point here. In other words, did they think he had the chops to go into a place and win? And he did. You may find out something different. You may find out that Kevin Stefanski has a fabulous game plan. But the bottom line is they put themselves in a spot where they can play for it. So I don't think there are any fraud playoff teams because you're judged on wins and losses. You're not judged on style. This is not a committee selecting who is in the playoff. You win your way in. That's why I always thought it was crazy about hearing people. Well, they backed in. You didn't back in. You had more wins than the other guy. Just because you both lost in the last day, you still had more wins. That's why you play a, quote, season. All the games count. The King. Final half hour of picks today. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.